Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. This is Anne. As promised, we're going to continue Connie's conversation this week. It just kind of abruptly jumps in. So to get caught up, make sure you listen to her first two parts to the interview. We're going to continue talking about wife rape. So there's a trigger warning there. So just know that that's going to be happening. Just a shout out to all our Betrayal Trauma Recovery Group members. A Betrayal Trauma Recovery Group is an amazing resource. We have multiple sessions every single day in every single time zone where women really understand what you are going through. They get it immediately, right? You don't have to explain anything to them. They really understand it. So to see our group session schedule, go to btr.org. We'd love to see you in a session today to validate you and support you. I've been reading some reviews from people from the podcast, and here is one woman who said, a sigh of relief. Learning about the betrayal trauma model of recovery has been an eye-opening piece of the puzzle. It explains so much. Learning about the symptoms and the approaches of how to deal with things from this standpoint really have made a difference for me. I appreciated 12-step groups and found support through them. However, I began to feel stuck in trying to work through recovery with them. So thankful for this podcast and for the model it follows, which is the abuse model, right? So we really encourage women to read Why Does He Do That by Lundy Bancroft and The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans to really get a handle on what this is. Also, my book, Trauma Mama Husband Drama, which is a picture book for adults, which you can get on Amazon. You can also get to it from our books page, btr.org/books. Really appreciate those of you who have purchased it and then given it a review, because every single review helps isolated women find us. And we hear reports frequently about women who didn't know where to turn, didn't know what to do. They've already tried several therapists or tried several groups, and they just prayed and they found BTR. And many of them don't use our services or they don't purchase books, but they do listen to this podcast, which is free for everyone. And so we appreciate you helping us get the word out about this podcast, and every review helps us do that. So thank you. Okay, now we are going to jump into Connie's talking about her situation. It's sort of an abrupt transition. So here we go.
So he does. I mean, he's like startled and doing his sulky thing. He leaves and went to Utah, actually, to meet with one of the most revered sex addiction therapists that there is, who's actually a complete moron. I hate him. He is horrible. He's terrible. Okay. So he goes to Utah for this, an intensive one-on-one with this very revered sex addiction therapist.
So-called CSAT, who's amazing. And he's going to change his life, right? Yeah, we've seen this before. Yeah.
Right. They start doing EMDR, which is supposed to, like, you know, suddenly change my husband into a nice guy. Meanwhile, I'm with my sister. I'm kind of starting to explain stuff to her. I'm telling her about our sexual history and telling her about what life is like. And she's just like, no, this is not okay. So my eyes are slowly being opened. Meanwhile, he's in Utah hanging out with his brother. Like, they're eating ice cream and, you know, doing all this fun stuff. I'm at home.
If you're not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I just want to point this out. That is a hilarious thing to say. He's with his brother eating ice cream, like, rather than he's with his brother drinking.
That's so true. So funny. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I didn't even think of that. No, it's so true though.
That's super cute. Like, they brought like gallons of milk. Gallons.
It's so true though. No, they're eating like barbecue Korean food and like going all out in the
Korean. Wow, they're really so living true. On the edge. The Korean food and the ice cream.
No, but it was interesting though, like the juxtaposition, because there's like me and my sister. Between us, there's seven children, you know, and we're like, we're praying, we're fasting, we're working, we're crying. I mean, I'm up to my ears in the deep water. Like, I'm reading my scriptures. I'm seeking. Like, this is when I started to find BTR. This is when God is guiding me. Meanwhile, my husband is playing.
Let's stop with that for a minute. During that time you find BTR, would you say you felt led to BTR?
Yes.
Okay, I want to hear that story in a minute, but keep going about your husband. Okay.
So he's in Utah meeting with this revered CSAT, and basically it was similar to what the previous counselor that I told you about had told him. Basically, my husband had a lot of issues with his mom.
This is recently. What year is he doing this?
This is 2019.
So this is recent. This is not a CSAT who gets it. And this is why we don't recommend CSATs anymore, period. We do not recommend them. You need to find an abuse specialist. Because this is 2019. This isn't 2012 or something. Right. Okay.
This is just this last summer. This is not even 1 year ago. So it's his mom. He says, you're taking everything out on your wife that you feel for your mom. And so, yeah. I'm so sad for you. This is so sad. You have so much shame. Aw, that's sad. Let's have empathy for you. Aw. And then he sends him home. And so my husband comes home and he's like, this is not about you and the abuse that you've gone through. This is about me and about how I don't have a good relationship with my mom. So when I'm really mean to you and when I rape you, it's really because I'm angry with my mom. I call the therapist's office and I say, I need to talk to him right now. And they say, he's way too busy. And I'm like, okay, my husband is going to kill me. He's crazy. He's completely crazy. And you're going to have homicide on your hands if you don't get this doctor, this therapist on the phone with me right now. And of course, I never ended up on the phone with him. But this is the day that we separated. Things escalated very quickly with my husband because I told him that day that the children and I were leaving because my husband went from 0 to 60. Like that next morning, I said, after he came home and was like, the abuse, it's not about you, it's about me. Blah. I said, okay, so are you saying that you don't own that you've ever been abusive? You're saying that you don't want to work on the marriage. You don't want to work on being safe. You just want to work on like your mom issues and you don't care. You don't care about this stuff. And he's like, well, no, I do. It's just you need to worry more about me right now. And that's when I just knew like this marriage is dead. This marriage is dead and this guy isn't safe. So I said, okay, me and the kids, we're going to go. We're going to go while you work on your stuff. And he said, you are not going anywhere. And I have read enough books to know that those are scary words.
When someone's trying to leave is the highest time for physical violence.
It was scary. And so I said, okay, then you need to leave. And he said, I'm not going. And so we had kind of a standoff. And I was scared. I was worried. I mean, I've seen him be very violent. He went in the backyard and kicked a fence, kicked a ball. My son was 9 then. He saw this all happening, kicked a ball. It doesn't sound like a big deal. I mean, when you see a grown man like attack a ball and attack a fence, it's scary. You know, and then he's fake crying for a while, puttering around. It was just ridiculous. And then he told me he wouldn't leave until we got several of our highest church authorities on the phone giving me permission to leave, which is ridiculous because I'm like, okay, well, I don't have their phone numbers, so I can't do that.
Well, and also I'm a grown woman. I don't need another man's permission to make a decision.
So I was able to get a therapist on the phone. This is the CSAT who eventually I started meeting with. And he was actually really helpful in this moment. He told my husband that I had the right to leave, but that first the most helpful thing would be for my husband just to leave since I have these kids. And so my husband agreed to leave. And at that point, that's when I set this boundary with him that this is funny. This is a very early on boundary, but I said, when you're abusive, I need you to leave for 7 days. And so it's cute because I'm like, okay, no, I will never be abused again in my life ever by anyone. But in that time, it was a baby step. So he's like, okay, I'll leave for 7 days, you know? So he leaves for 7 days. And during those 7 days, I found BTR. I prayed for help. I just kneeled down. I said, God, I'm alone. I'm completely alone right now. There's nobody who understands what I'm going through. I don't understand what I'm going through, but there's something crazy going on and I need help. I'm turning on my computer. You have to guide me. And so I just typed in everything I was feeling and one of your podcasts came up and I saw Coach Joy's face and I just knew it. I knew that she was right for me. And that's how I found BTR. And Coach Joy I think she saved my life. I love her so much. There's no words for how I feel about Joy. But anyway, my husband's journey is his journey, and I don't know what the heck he's going to do. At any second, he could turn around and become a psycho. So he's been meeting with Coach Joy for several months now. He's safe enough that I feel comfortable talking to him.
Okay, so for our listeners, he's going to Center for Peace.
Yes. Yeah. So it was at that time that I emailed Joy and I said, hi, Joy, I'm about to divorce my husband. are you taking any clients? Because I know that you're the only person who's going to make any kind of difference, or something like that. She wrote back right away and she was like, hi, Connie. Yes, I am. And I would love to hold your hand and walk with you through this as well, or something like that. And I just started crying. And I'm not a super emotional person, but like it just, she wrote back right away. And I just knew, like right then, like, I had already left him. We were already separated. I was just trying to figure out the divorce plan, because I have one really close friend whose husband, they're in the process of a divorce, and he's a narcissist and he's making her life a living hell, you know? And so I'm like, I got to do this strategically, really smart about this. And so I was planning on a BTR coach who would guide me through a divorce. I'm not divorced yet. I don't know if I will be, because I don't know at this point. I mean, he's on his own. I don't know what he's going to do. At that point, I knew that there was no hope for him. Like, not that there was no hope for him. I mean, there's hope for anybody. But I was like, okay, he's a narcissist. He's definitely a rapist. He's an abuser, and I hate him.
At this point, he is not safe. There's nothing about him that is safe.
Yes. At that point, when I first started working with Coach Joy, there was no chance that there was going to be a marriage, the possibility of a marriage. That was September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. So 9 months later, where we're at now is that I would consider my husband we're still married, but we're separated. I see him pretty much every day. He spends time with my kids every day. I'm extremely boundaried. I just barely lowered a boundary that I had before, where the only communication that we had was over email, except a cordial greeting. So now he can talk to me about things like the weather, the yard. Now he can help me with the yard, you know, and just talk to me about other stuff if I initiate it. But I mean, that's where we are. I don't know. Like, I think a lot of people want, like my family and friends and stuff, they ask, so how are things? And it's like, this is not a romance story. This is not a love story. This is not like, oh, when are they getting back together? It's not like that. I've set the boundary in my life that if I am married, it is going to be to somebody who personifies gentleness, meekness, love unfeigned. Those words are important to me. For I have, to this point, not met any men who qualify that. And I have to be deeply in love. And at this point, I'm not there. I'm working on my own wholeness.
Mm-hmm. So he's at Center for Peace. You're at BTR. The cool thing about Center for Peace and BTR is our top priority is not the abuser, right? We would like him to get better so that the top priority can happen, which is the victim's safety. So your safety and making sure you are okay is our top priority. So there's none of this like, oh, you need to help him or he needs your patience. Nothing. None of that. It's like you need to make restitution. You need to change. If your character has not changed, if you have not turned from a wolf in sheep's clothing to a sheep, you have to be an actual sheep, then this ain't happening. And I think that's the difference between Center for Peace and BTR and the CSAT sort of pornography addiction world, is that we don't really care about him. The only reason we do is because we care about you, right? And also we just care about all humans. When I say that, that's not the right thing. That's not what I mean to say, but we care about all people, that they're healthy. And your safety is our top priority.
Absolutely. Safety. Safety is the bottom of the triangle. And this is a good example of that. So like when my husband was meeting with these CSATs and when I started meeting with my CSAT, they always wanted to talk about my husband's family. Everybody wanted to talk about his family. But recently I was alone with my husband. He was helping me with a project that I asked him for help. A very boundaried project. Like I laid out the rules before and I was like, if you want to help me, I would welcome it. Here are the rules. And he was like, I would love to help you with that. So he was here and we just started talking and I was like, hey, how does it feel to have been raised by two parents that might be narcissists? And he said, you know what, Connie? I don't know, because I choose not to think about how I was raised, because when I meet with Coach Joy, we focus on where I am going. Because Coach Joy has told him, he said that once he brought up to Coach Joy, he was like, hey, I want to talk about my family because I feel like there's some stuff I need to resolve. And she said, look, we can if you want to, but I already know why you've been an abuser, why you are who you are. Scripting, your family life, personality disorder stuff, chemical stuff. You guys are all the same. It's all the same stuff. So if you need to process that, go get a therapist. We are all about where you're going with that rather than where it's come from. So with like these traditional CSATs and stuff, they want to delve into these emotions and they want to delve into like process all of the stuff that's happened, basically turning these guys into victims, but they're not.
Well, the other thing is we know it doesn't work because I know a lot of people who have had a very rough upbringing, who have had narcissistic parents, who have had addict parents, and they're not abusers. So it's not the cause. Abuse is a choice.
Every time it's a choice. Yeah, I think that's so important. Lundy Bancroft says that once you are in recovery, once an abuser is in recovery, he stops looking at his feelings and her behavior, and he starts looking at his behavior and her feelings.
Her feelings, yes.
That's one of the things that's made me be able to start viewing my husband as a friend rather than this psycho in my life. I noticed that there was a point when that happened, when that shift began to happen about 2 months ago. One of the things I love about BTR is that I can constantly check in with Joy and just be like, hey, how's he doing? And she'll tell me honestly. She'll be like, you know what? Not so good right now. Not safe. Stay away. And I'll be like, okay. And so around this time, I was like, Joy, I'm really feeling comfortable. Like when I see him, I'm feeling a lot of safety. Can you confirm that? Can you validate that with me? Or am I just lonely? You know? And she'll be like, yeah. And so I was starting to feel that. I felt like he was very aware of my feelings and very aware of his own behavior. And it had never been that way before. Our whole marriage, his like tagline, like every character has a tagline. His would be, you don't care about my feelings. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times that was said in our marriage. You don't care about my feelings. I love that Lundy Bancroft said that because I think it really personifies a healthy man to care about his wife's feelings and his own behavior.
And not justify his behavior through his feelings. So he's in Center for Peace. He starts making positive changes. You're still extremely boundaried, right? You decide either yourself, you decide this or you decide together about some major life changes. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I decided myself back in October, I just decided that I wanted to move far away, far, far away. So to answer your question earlier, when you said what happened when he started really owning the abuse, when he really started owning it.
So he's in Center for Peace and he's really starting to own it and to people around you. And then, yeah, I had asked that. So what happens there? Like people around you, what do they start doing?
Just doors start closing. People don't believe it. They don't believe him. They start saying he's been brainwashed.
By you. You've brainwashed him.
Or by BTR. That this crazy woman that he, no offense, Joy, I don't think you're crazy. I love you so much.
People call me crazy too. Or the crazy podcaster that got these bad ideas into his wife's head, right?
Oh, I know. So it's funny because he said when he first started doing Center for Peace, he was like, I thought that I was only doing it because I was trying so hard to keep our marriage together. But I thought that Coach Joy was trying to ruin our marriage. I thought she hated me, which, you know, she may have. I don't know. But like, now he loves Joy.
So people think BTR is crazy. They think Joy is crazy. They think we are like some kind of cult or something that has put these insane ideas into his head that he's an abuser when he's not really an abuser. Like he's a good guy. Why is he thinking this?
So when we separated, he stopped coming to our congregation. I was going by myself. And so he started losing weight rapidly because he moved into his office and started showering at the gym. So we had to go to the gym every day. And surprise, surprise, when people go to the gym every day, they lose weight. And so she happened to see him and she comes up to me and hugs me. And she's like, I'm just so worried about you guys because I saw your husband and he's so thin. And I'm just so worried about him. I just realized like, no matter what he does, people are going to feel sorry for him. He loses weight, people feel sorry for him. He doesn't come to church, people feel sorry for him. Everybody's hugging me saying, we're just so worried about your husband. How is he doing?
You need to be worried about me. Why are you not worried about me?
Right. With five kids at church, my son's standing up, speaking over the podium, talking about how he's having this hard trial. Not one person asked how he's doing. It's all about my husband because he's created that. He began cultivating that 8 years ago when we first moved into this area, when he became the center of attention. Like he made that happen. You know, like it's something that he created, that he put into motion long ago. And so when I realized just how much my family unit, that we did not exist without him, that we could not exist without being overshadowed by him, I can't live here. Just everything was a trigger. The leader of our congregation had very much sided with my husband, and many of our friends had either remained neutral or had taken this stance that was very unhealthy, where it was like, don't you see how much he's changing? Why won't you let him live back in the house? Why don't you just try talking to him a little bit differently? Don't say things that'll make him so mad. And just feeling that betrayal over and over again, it was just too painful.
From your whole community, because your whole community is not like, he is an abuser, you are a victim, what can we do to help you? What do you need? How do we make sure you are safe?
And I don't want to say that I had no one. I had a few key friends who were amazing, and I love them, and I will always cherish them and the support that they gave me. But overwhelmingly, it was just triggering and traumatic. There was also this sense of protection that I felt there for my husband, for his job security, and just for his sense of self. I felt like I needed to protect him. I felt like I needed to not be too open about the abuse. And I tried to shed that over time, tried to be open as I could, but there were just certain areas where I couldn't. And the shame was too great that I just realized I need to be somewhere else. I need to be somewhere new with new people, new faces. I still am very much a believer in my faith, and I would like to be able to attend regularly, but it was getting to be just too difficult there. I don't know. My husband was just like many of the husbands that I hear in the BTR support groups, very charming, very social, very involved, and then just have him suddenly gone, you know, and then to have these questions about it as if I'd done something wrong. My clergy sent me an email asking why I had made my husband stop coming. And I mean, that alone was just so triggering. You know, I wanted to respond and be like, dude, like, have you ever been raped? When's the last time your wife raped you? Like, would you want to see her at church every Sunday? Because he wouldn't believe that my husband had voluntarily chosen to stop coming to our congregation to give me time and space away from him. He didn't believe it. He thought that I was lying when I've only ever been honest with him, whereas my husband has been lying the entire time he's known him, you know? But I decided to move out of state. And I let my husband know, and because of the terms of our separation agreement, legally I was allowed to do that. So back in like July, when the Jekyll Hyde was in my favor, you know, when he was like in a very repentant state, I went to a lawyer, a friend who's an attorney, and asked her to draft a separation agreement that allowed me to have custody of the children and, you know, the financial security that I needed. We worked over it together. I made sure that he was comfortable with it. And so I was able to have the security that I needed to make these kinds of decisions. And so that's been really comforting to have that and to, you know, have those ducks in a row so that I can make these kinds of decisions without worrying about the legal ramifications of it.
Wow. So you live in a different state now. You're still separated and you're just figuring things out one day at a time, right? But not forever. When I say one day at a time, I don't believe in life was not meant to be lived one day at a time. But for right this very second, that's kind of the stage you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going really well. I mean, I've never been happier or healthier as an adult than I am now. I think that I didn't have boundaries before. I was in constant pain before, physical pain, emotional pain. Gaslighting, for anybody who's listening, there were a couple times in the BTR support groups that I heard women say things like, my story is not as bad as her story, so I don't know if I should be here. And I just want to emphasize, the reason I left my marriage was the emotional abuse. That was what put me over the edge. So if you are, quote, only being emotionally abused, only being gaslit, which is actually psychological abuse, which is much more calculated than emotional abuse. If that is what's happening to you, you have every right to leave your marriage. You have every right to be going crazy right now. Psychological abuse is meant to make you crazy. I mean, it's horrible. And getting away from that, stopping the abuse, is the only way to survive. You can't survive while being abused. It's not possible. I remember early on, like when we'd been married like 4 years, I was praying so hard to God to heal me because I felt like there was something wrong with me. And in my mind, I saw a picture of an arm and I saw this knife come down and slice open this arm. And then I saw the words, heal me. And then I saw a knife come down and slice the arm open again. And then the words, heal me. And then a knife come down and slice the arm open again. And then the words, heal me. And I just realized I'm praying for God to heal me, but I keep being sliced open over and over again. And he's trying to heal me, but I keep being sliced. And I didn't understand it then. I finally understand what that means. The only thing in my power is boundaries. The only thing I can do is step away from the abuse.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've had several women tell me that they kneeled down and they prayed. Then the next thing that happened was they found BTR. And they had never realized they were being abused. They never realized this was just an abuse issue, right? There was really no reason to go down that pornography addiction stuff. Although, is pornography addictive? Yes, it absolutely is. But this is an abuse issue. And if we don't look at it as an abuse issue and we don't see victims as victims and perpetrators as perpetrators, you're not going to get anywhere. So I'm so, so grateful that you found us.
I just wanted to say one more thing about complex PTSD, because I just feel like I'm learning so much about it and so many of us have it. I mean, if you've been abused repeatedly, you have it. You just do. Like if you've been cut, you have a cut. I mean, you have it. And Dr. Stosny, he's the guy who writes about emotional abuse. He has this analogy where he says, if you're walking down the street and somebody randomly says, hey, you have green hair, assuming you don't have green hair, you'll just be like, oh, you're crazy and go home. But if your spouse is like, hey, you have green hair, you're going to rush to the mirror and look in the mirror to check, right? And I remember reading that and just it didn't quite jive with me, and I couldn't figure out why until recently. And I realized if some random stranger on the street said, hey, you have green hair, I know I would run home and check. And then I would be like, why can't I see the green in my hair? Like, I would believe the stranger before I would believe myself. And that is what complex PTSD does to us. It makes us not trust ourselves. And for me, BTR has changed that. Just to keep going with the analogy, for the rest of my life, I would have written green for hair color on my driver's license and on my profiles, believing that one stranger instead of my own eyes. And if somebody else said, hey, you have beautiful blonde hair, I would have been like, oh, that's so kind of you to say, but I know it's actually green, but thanks. You know, like that is who I was becoming because of the abuse. But then I found BTR. Or I guess I should even say BTR found me. Like, I know that sounds corny, but that is how it feels. Like, now I am learning that I have my own brain. I have my own body, and it's mine, and it works, and I can think, and I can choose. And it is so much of that is because of my one-on-one sessions with Coach Joy and the meditations with Coach Peggy and the BTR group sessions with the other coaches, all the coaches, and your podcast. And just being part of this community has saved my life. It has saved my life, and it's doing things for my family that I could not have done by myself. I don't know what I would have done without you guys. I feel like I know you and I love you, and I pray for all of you regularly because I'm just so grateful beyond anything I can say for all of you. I know I'm gushing and just like going on and on, but like there just aren't words for it. I'm so grateful. There's this Lauren Daigle song that I love called Rescue. Sorry, it makes me cry. You know what I'm talking about. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the hardest fight. It's true. I will rescue you. And every time I hear that song, I'm not kidding, I see the BTR coaches in my mind. I see you and I see the women that I know from the meetings. You have all rescued me, and me and my children and their children owe so much to you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
I'm crying too. And that is what BTR is trying to create, is this army of women who can find people like us, right? Like you and like me and all the women who have been through it, that when they pray or when they're looking for something, they find us and we are here for them, because that's what all of us needed. That's why I created BTR, because that's what I needed, but I couldn't find it anywhere and it didn't exist. There was no one using the abuse model in this pornography addiction scenario at the time. And I'm so grateful that it's helped other people and grateful to hear your story. Also, a little bit sad, actually, to tell you the truth, that like my situation is so difficult still. We press on. We press on. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Connie, for coming on today's episode. We really, really appreciate you taking the time and for being so brave and sharing your story. I genuinely hope and will pray that things continue to improve for you and your family. If this podcast is helpful to you, please become a monthly supporter. Go to our website, btr.org, scroll down to the bottom and click on support the podcast. Similarly, your ratings help women find us. It's just how the internet works. So if you want to help other women stop the pain and chaos that you were going through when you didn't understand that what you were facing was abuse, please rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your other podcasting apps. Every single rating, every single comment, every single share, every single tag helps isolated women find us. And until next week, stay safe out there.